Thank you for listening to the weekly podcast from San Jacinto Assembly of God in Amarillo, Texas. If you'd like to know more about our church, visit us online at www.sjag.church. Now here's this week's message.
Well, this morning's title to my message is Living in the Lord's Economy. And according to Wikipedia, it says this: an economy is an area of the production, distribution, and trade, as well as consumption of goods and services. In general, it is defined as a social domain that emphasizes the practices, discourses, and material expressions associated with the production, use, and management of scarce resources. So when we look at the word economy, and sometimes we're not all that familiar with it, but it actually affects our lives quite a bit. And we are living in a very inflated economy today in America, if you haven't noticed. We are beginning to experience its effect on the things around us and the things that are taking place. Many are being impacted, even though others are saying that, hey, this is the best economy we've ever had. But you know, sometimes it's easier to see what's going on than listening to somebody and what they're saying. And many are being impacted by higher food prices at the grocery store and dining out, and even paying at the pump has been very painful. Higher interest rates have proven to be challenging financially to those who are seeking mortgages or even looking for other loans. The mortgages, I had a credit card offered to me the other day, and I said, what's your interest rate? And they said 31%, and I said, I don't think so. I don't need what you want to sell me for. But, you know, just about everything we buy today, if you get right down to it, cost us more money. I know just 2 years ago, my house insurance was $900. Now it's $1,900. And so things are just unbelievable in this economy that we're living in. And in many cases, there's not an increase of wages. The wages are still the same, and the prices are higher. So that gives you less money. You know, other than fast food wages, they're paying more. Thus, all of this is stressing the household budget. All of it is literally stressing, and I think we all feel that, and I think a lot of folks are feeling that in their households. Even here at San Jacinto, we're feeling the impact of an inflated economy. Tithes and offerings have been down since November last year. Expenses, however, have been up, not salaries, but the expenses to operate have been up. But the cost of doing things, all of these things have been increasing. And we've trimmed all the fat that we can off the budget, but hopefully we don't have to trim some meat. It's just a difficult time right now. But here's the question: how can we prosper in times like these? Even though things seem bad, even though the economy's bad, how can we prosper in times like these? How can the scripture that we read in Psalms 92 be part of our life, such as this one? Psalms 92, verses 12 through 15. How can this be part of our life when it says, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree, he shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon, and those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of God. They shall still bear fruit in old age, praise God, and they shall be fresh and flourishing. To declare that the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Did you notice in verse 2 how it speaks of this, of God's people? It says, those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of the Lord, or the courts of God. It's something that, how can that, in this economy that we're living in, how can that be true for the child of the living God? How can that be part of our lives? Can I tell you this morning that living in God's economy will help us prosper in times like this? Living in God's economy will help us prosper in times like this. Listen, the word prosper doesn't always mean financially. It means peace. That's a big word that really needs a lot of definitions. Prosper is a lot of things. If you're joyful and you have a happy household and all that, that's all about that word prospering. But how can we do that in this economy that we're living in? I can tell you this morning, living in God's economy can help you prosper. You may say, what do you mean by God's economy? Well, this morning, just for a few moments, I'm going to spend some time talking about God's economy. First thing I want to point out, money is not the central point of God's economy, regardless of what some may say. Oftentimes in America's economy, we always think about money as that. Presidents are voted in and voted out on how the economy is putting money in your pocket. But we must understand when we talk about God's economy, it's not necessarily talking about money. Money is part of that, but money is not the central point when we talk about God's economy. See, God's economy is found in the salvation offered through faith in Jesus Christ. Let me say it again. God's economy is found in the salvation offered through Jesus, or through faith in Jesus Christ. In Ephesians 1, listen to what it says in verses 3 through 10. It says, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ." Isn't that amazing? Spiritual blessings. "Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without the blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasures of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace by which he made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, and the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." Because I tell you, there's no other way to get to heaven other than through Jesus Christ. Amen. Verse 8 says, "Which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him." Everything that I just spoke of is in him. If you look at the words, "that in the dispensation of the fullness of time," the word, and I'm going to mispronounce this like I do a lot of words, it's okonomia. That sounded great. It's a Greek word. Now, in the Clark's commentary, it speaks of this word. It says the word okonomia, I think I said it twice right, which is the same as our word economy. It's equivalent to the word our economy. It signifies, as Dr. McKnight has well observed, the plan which the master of a family or his steward has established for the management of a family. It signifies, and also a plan for the management of any sort of business. Here it means the disposition of the gospel, that the plan by which God has provided salvation for a lost world, and according to which he intends to gather all believers, both Jews and Gentiles, into one church under Jesus Christ, the head and the governor. So when we look at that word, it's talking in the disposition times, it actually speaks of God's economy and what God's economy starts with. And we can declare this morning that when we are saved, we're literally entering into God's economy. Can I tell you that moment of getting saved is so valuable in each one of our lives that things change. The Bible actually speaks of the fact that we switch citizenships. We're no longer citizenships of this world, but we become citizens of this world, or of God's world, God's kingdom. Everything switches, and we are pulled from the economy that we're living in into God's economy, because his economy is all structured under Jesus Christ. Can I tell you, we forget how important Jesus is to the believer, and also how important when the Bible says he sent his son because he loved the world. In other words, he wanted them to come into his economy. And that comes through the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus is that. You know, when I got saved, I started walking in God's economy. And I also started walking into his main plan for my life. Pastoring was a second plan or something of that. But his main plan for me was that I be saved and I enjoy the economy of heaven in my life. Amen. That economy is pretty cool. That is to be part of the family of God. He calls the church, or the bride of Christ. That's an important thing to be part of that. We enter into that economy. I enter in, you know, in Ephesians even, if you read the whole book of Ephesians, it says we are blessed in heavenly places. The book of Ephesians explains a lot of that economy and what it means to be in God's economy from that moment on when we become citizens of heaven, when we become blood bought, blood washed, and become part of His economy. Aren't you glad you're in that economy this morning? I entered that house through the blood of Christ that was presented as a covenant relationship with me and my Father. I'm going to tell you, God's message has never been come and get money. God's message is come and be saved. It has never changed. I don't care what preacher stands up and says, hey, it's all about cash. No, it's not. I think if that was the case, you would have got a bunch when you came down the altar. I don't know. But we got salvation, which is way more valuable. His economy operates on different precepts and concepts. His got different value. I know that the world goes on the dollar or the American dollar, but let me tell you, the economy of heaven goes on the blood of Jesus Christ and salvation under no other name. It's Jesus that brings that economy in. He's the value of the economy of God. That economy starts there. But however, His economy offers a blessed life. We enter into that economy through the salvation, through the blood of Christ. But it does offer a blessed life. In John 10:10, you've heard me quote it many times. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. And listen to what Christ says. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Who? Those that have entered into God's economy. Those that have been blood bought. Those that have been saved. He says, I've come that they may have life. Life literally in this verse means to be alive. Literally means to be alive. Ephesians 2:4 describes it like this. That God, who is rich in mercy because of His great love, with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive. Together with Christ, by grace you are or have been saved. In other words, we were all dead people walking. We were and are the original walking dead. Amen? And praise be unto the Lord, when we heard the message of Jesus Christ and we received it by faith, all of a sudden the same spirit that quickened Jesus in the tomb quickened our spirit and we became full of life. It literally means I was not living until I got Jesus in my heart. Alive. So Jesus says, I've come to give you life. When we get that life, remember that's God's economy for us. We come into that relationship with Jesus. We're entering into that economy that He has for us. And then He puts this word in there, life abundantly. Not only life, but life abundantly. I mean, you know, abundant means you're really living. Amen? It means that you got something to rejoice about. It means things are good. Things are happening in your life. It just feels good. Have you ever had one of those weeks where everything just click, click, clicks, clicks, just like you want it to be? And you think, man, I got the favor of God. And then you have the next week, nothing works. You think, God's forgot me. You know, we've all been through those weeks in our lives, and that's called Christian living. But let me tell you today, Jesus made this statement, and He didn't waste words. He said words that He meant. He said, I've come to give you salvation, that you can enter into the economy of God. And when you're in that economy, it opens a door for abundance in your life, that you may live with abundance in your life, that you may have something that the world doesn't have. Hallelujah. That economy offers many things. That we're not that the world can't have. That word means abundantly. It means pertaining to quantity. So abundant as to be considerably than what one would expect or anticipate. That which is more than enough. Beyond the norm. Abundantly surplus is what it speaks of. How many are feeling abundantly loved today? Amen. Hallelujah. This is found in his economy. This is found in the Lord's economy, that abundant life. But it comes also, his economy, his rules. His economy, his rules. We know that you can't enter into his economy without getting saved and getting right with God. We've all heard, as long as you live under my roof, you will obey my rules. Now, I ask you to raise your hand, I know what kind of kid you were. But we've all heard that. I have to tell you, I've heard that. Rules, the meaning of rule is a prescribed guide for conduct and action. When we think about rules, there's things that says this is how you will act and this will be the way you conduct your life. His economy comes with those rules also, and we hate to hear that. I tell you, regardless of what others may say, there are some rules when it comes to prospering in God's economy. There are some things that we need to do in our life in order to have that life abundant. I remember when we played football, if you played football, Coach Sherwood says, if you're going to play on my team, your hair cannot touch your ears. I have no problem with that today. But back then, my hair would grow long. He says, you will not have any face hair, and you will wear dress clothes on Friday. You'll carry your football helmet all day, and you won't talk to anybody on Friday. And that was his rules to be on the football team. And if you didn't follow his rules, it's not like today. Your parent didn't come up there and throw a fit if you didn't like the rules. You followed or you didn't play. There are things in God's economy that requires us to follow certain things. Can I tell you this morning that ifs in the Bible are rules for his blessing? The ifs in the Bible. Many times God would tell the children of Israel, if you do this or do that, you will be blessed. He says, if you'll do this particular thing and follow this and keep me at the first of your life, you will be blessed. Even when it comes to salvation in Romans 10, we hear the word, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe with your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Can I tell you that if is a big word? See, just because we have entered into his economy through faith in Christ, it does not mean we automatically are living in the blessed life. Because the ifs make a difference. Let me say that again. The ifs make a difference. Because see, his economy, when we get the idea of it and understand it, his economy can sustain us within any economy if. I want to spend some time this morning just talking about some ifs this morning. What are some ifs that we, as children of God, can do that can prosper us even in the economy that we're living in? What are some things that can cause us to prosper? The first thing, if we seek his kingdom first. If we seek his kingdom first. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Have you ever thought what, just for a moment, to meditate on what it means to seek his kingdom? And what all that entails when it comes to the kingdom of God. I'm going to tell you, it would take you a while to meditate on all of it. But what it basically means is to seek what he says and to apply it into our lives, to make his principles and his precepts first in our decisions and our relationships and all these things, what choices we make in life. It means that we seek his kingdom first. Now, what happens here, we're into the economy of God, but yet at the same time, the Bible says his economy will affect even the economy that we're living in the U.S. today, because he says, and all these things shall be added unto you. What are all those things? Oh, my needs, the things I need to pay my house with, the things I need to pay my rent with, all these things. God is intertwining his economy with the economy that we're living in. We can understand that God will meet my needs. God will meet my needs if we have that if. If we start to apply those in our life, it's very clear that he says, I'll take care. All those things. If you read the whole chapter of Matthew 6, and if you haven't read it, come Wednesday night, we're going to cover it pretty soon. And we'll look at it a little closer than what I'm going to do tonight. But the fact is this, he's talking about the things that we need in this world to survive on. He'll meet those needs if we'll seek his kingdom. Another if is if we apply his principles of sowing and reaping. Gunner, he kind of stepped on a little bit of what I'm preaching this morning. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 and 8, it says this, do not be deceived, God is not mocked. For what a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows of the Spirit, will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. There's a word out there that some people use, and I don't think it should be in the Christian vocabulary or think, hey, this is really true. But there's a word called karma. And people say, well, they got exactly what they deserved. In other words, they got exactly what they had sowed. See, in my ideal as a pastor, I would rather say, hey, they sowed it, now they're reaping it. And when we get this principle, understanding, because see, you can't live the blessed life. You can't live the prosperous life. You can be in God's economy and still not enjoy all the blessings of God until you get the principle that God has put throughout Genesis all the way to the back book called Revelation. And he has a principle there is of sowing and reaping. I can't expect to go out. I got a horse tank that I took out of the junk pile out at Robin and them's ranch, and we got it in our backyard, and we planted a little garden in there. I can't expect to get anything out of that garden this year unless I put something in that garden. And I can take 10 seeds. I didn't realize how much seeds would multiply. I was going to plant me a few jalapeno plants, and I put, well, they said so many, I put more. That's what a guy does. I had a lot of jalapeno plants that day. I mean, they came up and I thought, who planted all those? I did. But it's the same thing in God's kingdom. If we get the seed, you can't expect to have a harvest without putting the seed in the ground. The principle of sowing and reaping goes throughout, not just finances, but in how we treat people and all these things, our relationship with each other in the church. All that we sow, you want to smile, smile at somebody. I'm just saying today, it has that principle, and we can't live the prosperous life. We can't live abundantly in God's economy until we get a hold of the principle of sowing and reaping. Now, usually the only time we talk about it is when someone sows something bad and now they're getting it. But folks, let me tell you, the Christian's life and mindset cannot be that way, because the principle is what you're sowing in your hand or what we're sowing in our lives. We understand that if I'm going to live abundant life, I've got to sow in a way that's going to produce the abundancy in my life. Because when we start to have that attitude, and we must understand it, if I will grab the concept of it, I haven't got time to share all the scriptures, but Proverbs says a lot of it about the sowing and the reaping. I like this part, though. It says, God is not mocked. What's that mean? It means he knows exactly what you're sowing and what you're holding back. He knows exactly what you've done last night. He knows exactly what we did. He is not mocked. He knows whether or not you're keeping part of what is his. And so therefore, if he knows, he therefore rewards accordingly. So if we're going to live in the abundant life in this economy, if we're going to live in the abundant life of his economy, we need to understand the principle of sowing and reaping. If I want to sow unforgiveness, guess what? I'm going to have unforgiveness. Matthew 6, again, we'll cover that on a Wednesday night if you come. Listen, I can't be forgiven unless I sow forgiveness. If I'm harboring unforgiveness, I'm not getting to heaven. I know that's tough preaching, but I believe with all my heart, we've got to forgive. Amen. We've got to have that heart of forgiveness. You just don't know what you've done. They've done. I get that part of it. But let me tell you something. It's nothing compared to what mankind did to God. He says, I forgive you of everything. I take it as far from the east, the west, and throw it. I put it in the deepest sea, not to remember it no more. Hallelujah. I'm saying, isn't that wonderful at what God does? And we hold on to a little deal. Well, they took my car. Give them the key. We're going to talk about that on Wednesday night too. Anyhow, boy, it's going to be good on a Wednesday night. Here's a principle. Matthew 7:12. It has to do with reaping and sowing. And sowing and reaping. Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. We call that the golden rule. You want people to treat you right? Treat people right. Amen? Sow to the flesh and you'll be depending on the flesh in these times that we're living in. And I'm going to tell you, the flesh can't bring you through. Sow into the Spirit and depend on the Spirit, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, who's created all things, and he can do a miraculous thing in your life. Sowing to him. Another if. If we are good stewards of his stuff. Now that's just my word, stuff. When I lived in Campo, how many of you have ever been to Campo, Colorado? Maybe just through, but have you ever just rode around? They collect a lot of, I made the mistake of calling it junk. They called it merchandise. So I just said, well, y'all got a lot of stuff. But, you know, here's the truth of it. And sometimes if we want to understand and live abundant life in God's economy, we've got to understand some things about what we have. Psalms 24, verse 1 says this. Excuse me just a second. The earth is the Lord's in all its fullness. The earth is the Lord's in all its fullness. And the world and those who dwell in it. Can I tell you what that says? Everything belongs to God. Everything is his. Everything. When we talk about a steward, in the ancient world was a person who was given in the responsibility and the authority to rule over the affairs of the household. For example, the patriarch Joseph became a steward over Potiphar's house, and he managed everything in the household and was given the authority to rule over the house. Everything in that household, there was nothing that the master would ask him. He just gave him the power and the authority to take care of his stuff. See, we need to understand this is the same thing with God. Everything that we have belongs to God. If we're going to have abundant life, we got to get the perspective right. I thought about it when I was writing this sermon. If I was to lay, just to be able to be coherent in the grave, that little 6 foot by whatever, 3, 4, whatever wide and 6 foot down grave they make. If I was able to view everything just for a moment, let it click on and think about my life that's now it's been 63 years and look at all the stuff I get to bring into that grave. I would look around and I wouldn't see my car. I wouldn't see my house. I wouldn't see that collection of hunting knives I got, because somebody up top would be saying, hey, look what I got now. But I'm just saying, I wouldn't be able to see a thing in that grave other than a suit that I probably don't even like, the one they put on me. I'm just saying, if we look at life in the true perspective of it, and this is the truth of it, when it's all finished and done, you don't get to take, there has been pharaohs buried with all this stuff, and guess what? It just sits there and nobody touches it other than grave robbers. That is life. But that makes Psalms 21 come into a full picture of the fact that he owns it all. And he owns all the people. Everything in this earth belongs to God. And he puts us in charge of just a few things. It is his. So in the mindset of being a steward for God, we understand that what he's put in our hand, the responsibility, he is still the master over those things, and it still has some rules and things that we are to do. I think one of the things that if we're going to be blessed and have abundant life, we are to pay his dividends that he's asked. Come on, if you put money in the bank that's yours, and they're supposed to pay you some interest, and they didn't pay one month, I've done this, and I said, where's my interest this month? Well, sir, it's just a few more days. Okay, I apologize for my attitude. I'll be back in 3 days. Why? Because I think that is mine. They owe me something out of that because I'm letting them use it. They said they would do this much with it. And it's the same thing if you have stock in something and there's a profit, you get a dividend. I'm going to say today, if we truly understand that everything that we have is God's, our salary, everything that we get, then we need to keep in mind, if we're going to live abundant life, we need to pay the dividends that God has asked. And those dividends come through tithe and offerings. They come through tithes and offerings. Robin and I have tithed ever since we have been saved. Every paycheck. We have given God. I remember, you know, when we first got saved, I think my tithe, I may be wrong on this because it's been many years back, was $37.46 for a week's worth. And I would pay that, and some people that would collect, they said, look at them, they're putting the 46 cents in there. I want to make sure I paid everything. Now I round things up, okay? It's not as bad. But if you've seen my check, you knew I figured it to the T. We had tied that. And we have tithed ever since we got saved. I'm going to tell you, I don't know what, I couldn't feel right not tithing. I tithe to the district. We are required to tithe to the West Texas district. What salary I get here, 10% of that goes to the district. That's where my tithe goes. I tithe into this church. I have tithed here since 2008. I asked Stephanie the other day, where do I rate? Am I in the top 10, top 20, top 30, top 40, 50? She said, you're in the top 10, Pastor. All I'm saying is I have learned something about having an abundant life in Jesus, having an abundant life in his economy, ask me to give some dividends. I believe in tithe and I believe in offerings. As being a good steward, I pay the dividends. But also, I developed a budget. I know that's a bad word. You know, budget, when you hear that word, you think, oh, you're going to restrict what I spend. I have found it's been quite pleasant ever since I went on a budget. Not only to develop a budget, but implement it into my life. See, yet, many years back, I was tithing, but yet I was still struggling. I was struggling to pay bills. I was far behind in some things I needed to get a hold of. I wasn't like past due. You know, Proverbs says this in chapter 23. Remember, it says, you know, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Be diligent to know the state of your flocks. Now, how many of you got sheep? No sheep herders in the house, okay? So we don't necessarily mean flocks. It says, attend to your herds, for riches are not forever, nor does a crown endure to all generations. What it's saying, pay attention to what God has put in your hand. Develop something that can honor God with it and also help you to have a comfortable life and enjoy the abundant life that God's economy will bring into your life. I first started making a budget when I moved to Boise City, Oklahoma. I got there and my brother offered me so much, he didn't, no, just kidding. But I found out that, you know, well, you'll pay every 2 weeks. I'd always been paid 1 week. I was living paycheck to paycheck, trying to figure out how to pay the car, trying to figure out how to pay the house payment. If you work for your dad, you'll understand exactly what I'm talking about. Trying to figure out how to do all, then they have this thing called the Oklahoma state tax, where I paid $50 for tags in Texas. I paid $400 and something for my minivan. I'm just saying, it overloaded me. And I said, God, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how I'm going to make it. I've left home. I have mom and dad not to take care of me anymore. I've got to grow up. I went to a store, I don't know if it's Walmart or where I went. I bought this little ledger book. And I thought, you know, I'm going to have to know exactly what we're spending. So I opened up, I'd put groceries. On the next page, I'd put car payment. On the next page, I'd put rent and all this. And then I'd divide that check I got, and I would divide it, here's out of this check, that check, that check. And I figured out after every paycheck, every 2 weeks, we had a whopping $25 left. But you know what I did not skip? I did not skip the dividends that I was going to give my God. Because I had a spot in there for tithe. And I thought, this is going to be tight. Now try to go to your wife and say, listen, we can't buy anything. And she says, well, you're the one that spends it all. No, just kidding. So it's different. It was different. And I was literally just didn't know what to do. And so I thought, you know, here I am. I'm paying my tithe, but I am not living the abundant life. Can I tell you the reason I was not living the abundant life was not his fault. I'm telling you, he was giving me the money, but I was not taking care of what God gave me. So I learned a valuable lesson back then. I got on a budget, and I've been a firm believer ever since. I've helped others implement budgets in this church. And if they, or show them and develop, I got budgets on my computer. And if you implement those, I've seen people do it and they start living a better life. I'm just saying sometimes we don't get it because we're not taking care of what God gives us. If we're going to have that abundant life, we need to develop it. You know, here's another deal. Watch that debt trap. Don't go into debt. I'm embarrassed to tell you what I owed on credit cards when I went to Boise City, Oklahoma. I owe $30,000-something. And that was back in 97. And I was so embarrassed. Y'all may be the first people I told. I need to do what people tell me. Now, don't tell anybody since I told y'all that. I didn't know what to do, but I started to develop that. Driving back from Boise City to Campo, I started listening to Money Matters about how to get an accelerator and start working on things. Robin and I got outside this trash can because that's what you did with your trash in Campo. You burnt your trash in Campo. And so we got around and we threw our credit cards in there and watched them melt. I said, God, if you'll just help us out of this. If you'll just help us get out of this thing, God, we learned our lessons. And from that moment on, God starts to do this. Can I tell you something else about the $25? Somehow, Clarence in Campo heard that I was an Assembly of God preacher. I think Jimmy may have told him. They called me up and said, hey, we don't have a pastor. Their last one they kept for 2 months. So I went and filled in, and guess what? My $25 extra, I had an offering that day. And I went back and filled. I had another offering, which padded on. Next thing they know, they're wanting me to pastor the church. And I thought, well, I'll pray about it. And I remember God says, God, if even in the little things, God's in it. And so I said, I'll pastor. And now I'm getting a salary. Listen, a salary added to my $25 a week after my paycheck, $600 a month. I'm going to tell you that $600 a month could have been like $6,000. And then within 9 months, we find ourselves living in a parsonage in Campo. Now I got a house to live in. Now I got utilities paid for. And now I've got a plus of at least $900 a month. Remember, it was just $25. You know what else happened? The salary at the church doubled while I was there. I'm just saying, I often think, what would have happened when I made my ledger if I would have took out the page that said, pay God's dividends? I'm going to say, when you're faithful to Him, God will also be faithful to you, and He will provide. You know what I did with that extra money? Guess what? I started paying that $30,000 worth of debt, and I can tell you today, I do not owe on credit cards that I can't pay every month. I've learned a lesson. But I'm saying today, God, when you're in His economy and you start to apply His rules, and if you apply the ifs, you start to live in that abundant life that God talks you into or brings you into. Here's another. We will also have abundance in His economy if we do not grow weary. Galatians 6, 9 and 10. And let us not grow weary while doing good. In due season, we will reap. Come on, keep on going in what you know God wants you to do. In His economy. Just keep on doing. Believe it is right there. Hang in there. God's got a blessing on His way. Amen? Don't go growing weary in it. And here's the last thing, because I'm going to conclude with this. Because I see I'm about out of time. And y'all look like you're growing weary. Hey, I get it. I can only keep you so long. Some of you checked out 20 minutes ago. Listen, expect His favor. Expect His favor. God made this statement to Asa when he was backslidden. He says, who decided to trust in the flesh instead of the Spirit of God. 2 Chronicles 16, 9. Listen to what it says. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong on the behalf of those whose heart is loyal to Him. In this you have done foolishly. Therefore, from now on you shall have wars. But listen to what that says. He goes to and fro. In other words, God goes looking for those that will to show Himself strong on the behalf of those whose heart is loyal to Him. Amen. Come on, you may be in a tight spot right now, but I'm going to tell you, if you're loyal to God, He's got you. Amen. Can I say it again? He's got you. He's going to take care of it. Don't grow weary, but hold on to it. Believe that God will take care of you. Come on, brother, if you'll come. Pastor. I have found that in my life. And I know sometimes, here's the thing. When things are tight and things you think, how can this happen? Remember, if you've been sowing to the flesh is going to, you're going to try to look at the flesh to get you out. But if you're sowing to the Spirit, I'm going to tell you, that is the one that owns the cattle on the thousand hills. He's the one that blesses and curses. He's the God that can bring things out of nowhere. You know, think about this just for a minute. Jesus took two fish and five loaves. And many said, what are you going to do with that? You know what He did? He raised them up and thanked God for them. And guess what? Fed 5,000 people with two fish and five loaves. And had, I believe this story's right. You can correct me if I'm wrong later, but not now. He had 12 basketfuls left. 12 left out of what? Two fish, five loaves. What's that say? Don't give up on God. If you are after God's heart, if you're seeking His kingdom first, let me tell you something. You are tapped into a supernatural source that can bring things that you never thought of, and He can meet your need. He can make, I heard that He can make the flour and the oil last through a famine until the rain came. What is the same flour, same oil, but He made it last until until the famine was over and the rain came. I'm saying today, God is able. Don't get down. Believe for a miracle. Believe that God has got you covered. Because that's what He does. I don't serve a president. I don't serve a Pharaoh. I serve God Almighty, the creator of all things, who everything He owns. A whole earth is His and all the people in it. My word, if He could tell Peter to go to a fish and get a coin out of it, I'm going fishing, my friend. We forget who it is we serve. It's the enemy that will come to you and try to make you not put the kingdom of God first. It's the enemy that will come to you to try to get you not to do the ifs. But if we will do what God's asked us in His word, my friend, not only am I entered into the economy of God, but I can live in the abundance. Amen? I can live in the abundance because the Lord says, I've come to give you life and life abundantly.